Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. I'm Byron Lazine, along with Chaz Cook from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And we have Brian Skelly from William Ravis Mortgage here with us today. We got a good show here, but before we get to that, I had a call last week, guys. And this call was from the man himself, Mr. Martin McKinney. Not the Tank Man, not Dougie Braun. If you want to get in touch with him, you just call 1-800-801-TANK and you can talk to Dougie all you want. He'll probably overstay his welcome at your home if you let him. But I got a call from the man up top, the man who's helped so many small and local businesses throughout the state of Connecticut over the years. And he said, it's that time of year, Byron. It is the home show time coming up. So we do these nice cooler bags with them. You know, they've got the service station tank. We've got the One Team on one side. He says, we got to get that straightened out, but we got to get our game plan set up. And so I said, I don't even have this on my calendar yet. The dates here are February 16th, 17th, and 18th. Mohegan Sun home show. They've been doing it at the home. Jenks Production home show has been doing it at Mohegan Sun now for the last few years anyway. It's a great time because you can go right from the convention center into whatever your favorite restaurant is or whatever you like doing at the Sun. And so we're having a meeting of the minds this week to figure out, are we doing a live broadcast there? Are we, you know, what are we going to do from the service station equipment booth? One Team's going to have some type of presence. And of course, you should go check it out because there's a whole bunch of great vendors. We'll give you more updates on that in the coming weeks, but it's right around the corner. February 16th, 17th, and 18th, Mohegan Sun, Jenks Production Home Show, Service Station Equipment Booth will be right on the right. And I thought I was in trouble at first. I thought we were getting canceled off the air, guys.
So I thought you were going to say, or he heard our show last week and he had something to say. Uh-oh. We gave him a shout out. I got to give Dougie Braun a quick shout out, though. I was at a house yesterday, a showing here in Guilford, and it's an older house and they had a line going out of the house. And so they thought there was an underground oil tank and it was Lee Whiteman's listing. So another Ravis agent. And so she called the Tank Man. He came out there, followed the line, found where the old tank used to be, and dug it up, made sure there was nothing there, capped off the line, made sure everything was good to go, put it back. I was there a week later. You couldn't even tell where he had dug the hole. So she was extremely impressed with Dougie Braun, the Tank Man.
The Tank Man, Service Station Equipment, 1-800-801-TANK. All right, we're talking pizza, though, today. And I got to, you know, Martin was very happy. He goes, hey, you know, John Fuller owns, you know, Full Power Radio 94.9. He goes, I don't know what you did to Byron, but you finally got these guys talking real estate all the time. I said, well, it's probably because we got Brian Skelly on. He raises the level.
Geeking out over here.
Anywhere you go. And so now we're going to talk pizza just to give John Fuller an old, a good old chat. But this is local economy stuff. It's local Connecticut pizza. So John, if you're listening, give us a pass on this show. We got some more real estate stuff coming up, but there was a local pizza article that we're going to debate around, see if they've got it right.
That's right. We had CT Insider from Connecticut Magazine. They ranked Connecticut's top pizza restaurants of 2024. So I was a little skeptical on a couple of these myself, but we're going to see what the general consensus is. We were talking about it pre-show here. But they didn't just stick to traditional pizza. They went just pizza as a category. So you've got some Mediterranean styles and you've got some Mexican styles and all these different styles of pizzas included in this list. And my big thing was, and I said this to Cooper before the show, it's all about the cheese, right? I judge a pizza place by how well they can do a plain slice of cheese.
A slice of cheese.
Slice of cheese, right?
Or the moots, if you're like depending you said, on how you are. Yeah, right? There you go.
But in no particular order, they kicked off this list with Bar Rosina's, which is 230 Mill Street in Greenwich, Connecticut. Then they went to Brewport down in Bridgeport, 225 South Frontage Road. I have actually had their pizza. It's at a brewery, too, so that's also a nice touch. I think that's how people vote it, right? They get a couple beers, and they have some pizza, and everything tastes better.
Yep.
After a few brews, maybe.
The whole experience, you're saying.
Right, the experience goes up, right? So naturally, the taste buds go up with them.
Yeah.
This one, local here in our hometown of Guilford, Buffalina at 1070 Boston Post Road in Guilford, Connecticut.
Oh, really? Buffalina is, that's definitely smaller, fancier pizza.
Artisan style.
Artisan.
Made with love.
They don't even have a cheese. I remember when I went there, they didn't even have a plain cheese.
Yeah, I think it's just like a husband and wife, just, you know, small little place.
Yep.
They do a great job.
Wood-fired, I believe.
Wood-fired, beautiful outdoor seating. Not this time of year, obviously, but in the warmer weather. Next up on the list, Dante's Pizza, 75 Pine Street in New Canaan. So a lot of these are far out from my area.
Three of the four I've never eaten at.
Me too. All right, here we go. We got the classic Frank Pepe Pizzeria Napolitana. And I have one of those in New Haven, Fairfield, Manchester, Uncasville, Danbury, West Hartford, and Waterbury. I did not realize they had that many locations.
Uncasville is obviously Mohegan Sun. You can stop by that when you stop by the home show on the weekend of the February 16th, when we'll be there for service station equipment.
How big is that truck, the Irish Springs pool water truck? Is it 100 feet long?
You could fit a million pizzas in that thing.
A million pizzas. That's why we got to get that water down to Florida.
I pitched Martin on this deal, take one of those Irish Springs pool water trucks out of production. Let's just get the spring water. We don't want to call it pool water, pizza water. Just put pizza water on the side of that thing. CT pizza water. And we'll just drive it back and forth between Connecticut and Naples, Florida, and I'll help launch a little pizza restaurant. It'll be my part-time gig.
Your retirement plan.
Yeah, and your free time, right, Brian? Right.
My free time. smoke cigars and make pizza.
There you go. All right, we got a few more on the list here. We got Good Old Days, 19 Main Street in Newtown, Connecticut. Still haven't been out that way. Grigg Street Pizza, 1 Grigg Street in Greenwich. So a lot of these in Fairfield County. Letizia's Pizza, 666 Main Ave, number 101 in Norwalk. Little Rendezvous, 256 Pratt Street in Meriden. Mango's Wood-Fired Pizza Company in Mystic. I have been there. They're on Coogan Boulevard. They do make a great pie.
Hmm.
What else? We got Modern. Of course, Modern. A Pizza had to make the list. 874 State Street, New Haven. Roseland, a Pizza, 350 Hawthorne Ave in Derby. Sally's a Pizza with locations in New Haven, Fairfield, and Stamford.
If Sally's wasn't on the list, then the whole thing would be disqualified.
It'd be a scam. I wouldn't have sent it because I knew you would have killed me if I did. You got to have Sally's on there. All right, real quick. Sono Wood-Fired Pizza in Norwalk, Strega in Milford, Swift in Kent, Tony Pizza Napolitano. It's a Weston-based food truck. And Zanelli in New Haven, Zupardi's in West Haven and Ansonia. And that is going to round out the list for your Connecticut top pizzas for 2024.
I would have had lunch before the show if I had known how hungry you guys were going to make me here.
Chaz will take you to Pasta Vest right after.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to have to get them on the list.
Are they on the list?
They didn't make it. Next year, we're going to do a petition for them.
Shout out to Pasta Vest in Guilford. They're doing a great pie. They got slices, too. I like a place that'll do a slice, because if you need a slice, maybe you had a bourbon the night before and you just need something to soak it up. A pizza place with a nice slice is a good way to do
like
it.
Like a Grand Pizza in Madison does a slice. There's not a lot of places to get lunch downtown Madison, so slice of cheese hits the spot at Grand Pizza. They do slices.
Grand is fantastic, too.
Yeah. There used to be an old... All right, time's up.
All right. Enough pizza talk. John Fuller will be happy about that. We're going to be getting into some real estate here when we come back. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Stay with us. Real Estate Radio here, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Byron Lazine and Chaz Cook from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. We've got Brian Skelly here with us from William Ravis Mortgage. We're going to get into talking a little bit about what's going on with the mortgage rate. There was a lot of momentum in late December mostly off of Jerome Powell's comments that the federal interest rate would soon begin to be cut at some point this year. You saw the 10-year drop, you saw the 30-year fixed drop, but then there's been a few bumps in the road here. Specifically this week, 10-year shot up a little bit on a really strong jobs report. And I feel like, Brian, maybe you could tell me, I feel like the Fed has also pulled back a little bit of their comments that they had in mid-December. What's your take right now on what's happening? Is this to be expected, the volatility? And, should we anticipate a spring with the 30-year fix kind of where it is, or should buyers anticipate it going down at some point?
Well, I'll say what the Fed always does. We're going to wait and see what the data does. We're going to wait and see what the data does. That's what they always say. But
You'd make a good Jerome Powell, Brian.
I did. Yeah, you know, I could have kept going with my economics degree, got a PhD, going to work to the Fed, but I'd rather do mortgages with you folks and do real estate radio. This is way more fun. So anyways, 3 weeks in a row, rates going up. I mean, I was saying rates have been pretty steady because they were creeping up a little bit, but we did see a little bit more of a jump this week. Mortgage News Daily average rate last Friday to end the previous week was 6.75. This week it ended at 6.89. So 14 basis point increase. We're up from a low of 6.65 on the week of Christmas. So up about 0.25% in the last 3 weeks. News this week pushing the markets. We had jobless claims came out on Thursday. They were the lowest they've been in 16 months. And then consumer sentiment came out on Friday, which is like how consumers are feeling. Are they feel good? Are they going to spend money? Are they going to buy stuff? Highest level since July of 2022. We saw the Atlanta Fed president. He came out and he reiterated he kind of wanted to get markets in line. He said the rate cuts probably won't happen until later in the year. He was quoted saying at the end of this week. So I think what we're seeing is just a strong economy. Unemployment's low. People are willing to spend money. You know, it's funny. I joke sometimes that one of the few people that get excited during a recession is the mortgage brokers. You know, some of the best years I've had in the mortgage business were 2009, 2016, 2020, because generally when unemployment's going up, people don't want to spend money. People are scared. Rates go down and they refinance. So that's what's going on. Strong economy. Rates are creeping back up again.
I have a question for you guys. So you mentioned that consumer sentiment was up. And then, Byron, you covered on the hot sheet this week that builder sentiment was also up. Are those usually tied to each other?
I don't know if they're historically tied to each other. I mean, builder sentiment got so low when rates hit 8 at the end of last year, October of last year, that there was really only one place for builder sentiment to go up these last couple months. We're still nowhere near the levels of builder sentiment before rates started going up, which is good. Let me tell you why it's good.
Okay.
Builders being cautious with their optimism is going to keep them from a 2007 situation. If you look at the new construction of the last housing cycle, you had 7.65 million homes. During the current housing cycle, which we're going to say is the last 5 years, only 4.6 million homes. So they're a lot more conservative than they used to be. And so they're also in the driver's seat too, with their, they're being conservative with their sentiment, and they're in the driver's seat because of the lack of inventory. So that they can kind of do some things that, they've got inventory one, but then they can do some things with the rate. If they're a national home builder, this isn't really relevant to Connecticut, but if they're a national home builder, they can bump the rate down. They can offer incentives that a traditional home seller wouldn't be able to do.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, also the thing to think about too, there's a lot of things that affect builder confidence, and one is going to be the price of materials. So before rates went up, that was, we weren't worried about inflation 3 years ago. And I think even though it's come down from the supply issues that we had in 2020 and 2021, I got to imagine that the cost of, 2x4s and sheetrock and plywood, cost more than it used to pre-pandemic. So that'll help keep, builder confidence in check. As long as it costs a lot of money to build a house, they're not going to go too crazy with the construction.
So it's a good balance to have both of them elevated at this point, with rates kind of ticking down.
And then you have consumer demand, is people want housing. Right. I mean, there's definitely more demand for housing than there are houses. So I think that's keeping it in balance a little bit.
One thing to keep in mind too, that's, it sounds weird. It's like, hey, the economy's really strong. Jobs are strong. Unemployment's really, really, really low. If you even beat expectations, and then you see, hesitancy from the Fed, rates going up. Well, it's because if they don't want a recession, but an economy this strong is also something that isn't ideal for the Fed's job of fighting inflation. They want like a happy medium. They would like a little bit of a less strong economy, not one that's in recession. That's a perfect world for the Fed, for them to accomplish their job of 2% inflation. This strong economy continues to push against that narrative.
Totally agree.
Also, if you look at the job numbers, you know, one sector of the job market that will not help Jerome Powell in this fight against inflation is our own government. The government, month over month over month, when you look at new payrolls, new jobs, okay, being created, the government is either number one or number two for the sector hiring the most people. And this has been going on for months now. So you would imagine going into an election year, that trend's going to continue. Mm-hmm. Where there's, I mean, we're talking 50, 60,000 jobs a month really being created by the government. I have no idea what these jobs
that's
are.
That's a lie.
But. Well, the IRS did a huge push. They hired, if I'm not mistaken, I think the number was like 80,000 new employees.
And government spending is like, I mean, going back to my economics intro class from college, I remember they talk about government spending as a tool to grow the economy. I mean, you look like what happened after the Great Depression. You know, the economy was really in a rough spot. And they were like, okay, let's go out. They had the FDR New Deal. They were like, okay, we're in a depression. Let's spend some money, stimulate the economy. And then in COVID, everybody was worried about a recession. So they're like, okay, let's pump some money into the economy. So yeah, it doesn't, you know, it seems like they should be scaling that back if we're trying to keep, like, all the news this week was not good for inflation. So, I mean, if you're at the Fed and you're like, okay, this is not good, you know, all these things are pointing to an economy that's a little too strong.
Well, my point about the election year is you're not going to see a government say,
Oh yeah.
Let's help Jerome Powell be the star and let's break the economy so he can be the star and we can get voted out of office. It's just not going to work that way.
Yeah.
So this, the last report, which came out on January the 5th, the biggest hiring boost was a gain of 52,000 in government jobs. And then number two was 38,000 in healthcare. I mean, the government jobs are outpacing healthcare. And if you look back, that's the trend almost every single month here. Leisure hospitality was 40,000, 21,000 for construction, or social assistance was 21,000, construction was 17,000, retail 17,000. So, you know, that number, I haven't seen any signs of it going down. Brian, you might want to look for opportunities to move to Washington, D.C., become a mortgage broker there. I think
maybe.
Are you licensed in D.C.?
A lot of turnover in that town, right? I've heard. I'm not. I don't even know.
Where do you have to be licensed in D.C.? What would that be?
I don't know.
Virginia, I would assume.
I don't know. I've never even occurred to me to think about that. Right. That's a good question because it's not a state. So I don't know. Maybe they have their own license.
In a district? A district can have its own.
I have no idea. Yeah, it's a good question.
I don't know what state that would be. Somebody Google that.
Yeah.
All right, we're on it.
What state would you need your real estate or mortgage license to operate in Washington, D.C.? Could be a good chat.
The non-state Washington, D.C., which always ends up making the list of all the top 50 states and, you know, the state rankings. They have D.C. on there.
Here's a insurance. You have to get an insurance license in Washington, D.C. Mortgage broker in D.C.,
it's a DC real estate commission. They have their own real estate commission.
Yeah, their own thing. DC mortgage license.
Their own
thing.
They're going to be their own country pretty soon.
Every 2 to 4 years, you know, there's going to be a boom of houses coming on the market.
Like the guy gets elected and you're like, hey, do you want to buy a house? He's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be here for 8 years. Maybe we'll just do the rental.
We'll do the rental for 4 years.
Confident.
See what happens after November.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's an interesting point. You're right. I mean, it's it's not. The incumbent party doesn't have an incentive to cut stuff that's going to hurt the economy this year. So, like, even though it probably would be a good idea for inflation, and even if Jerome Powell wants to cut stuff, you know, folks in power are not going to be a fan of that idea.
It puts the Fed in a pickle if, you know, jobs are strong and they're led by government hires and their mandate, their job is to get inflation down to 2% and also maintain the most employment possible. Those are their two jobs, right? Keep inflation down and maintain employment as much as possible. The employment side being the second most important factor there. It puts them in a hard spot to be able to do it. It's why the rate is obviously their biggest tool, and it's what broke housing last year. But it looks like the breakage in the bottom of housing is behind us. We can get into that and more when we come back. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Real Estate Radio here, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. I'm Byron Lazine, along with Chaz Cook from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. You can connect with us by going to oneteamct.com. That's oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com. Talk to Lee or Ben. They'll get you hooked up with the right agent for your needs, whether it's buying, selling, or investing in this 2024 market. OneTeamCT.com. You can reach Chaz at OneTeamCT.com, or myself, Byron, directly, Byron at. We also have Brian Skelly here from William Ravis Mortgage. Brian can help you with your financing needs. If you go to scheduleloanappointment.com, he owns that domain. That's how long he's been in real estate. Since the .com boom, Brian Skelly has been slinging mortgages. Go to loanappointment.com. He owns that domain, and that's how you connect directly with Mr. Brian Skelly from William Ravis Mortgage. Scheduleloanappointment.com. Now we've got our One Team Rewind of the Week, which is brought to you every single week by Service Station Equipment. Service Station Equipment is your local residential tank specialist. If you've got any tanking need, a tank that needs to come out of the ground or one that needs to be installed, 1-800-801-TANK, 1-800-801-TANK. Service Station Equipment is your residential tanking specialist. Chaz, what's the One Team Rewind of the Week?
All right. In the last 7 days, the One Team had two new listings, 9 under contract and 2 closings. And we've got a couple of great new listings here. First up, we've got 53 Graveline Ave in Meriden, Connecticut. I've been talking about Meriden a lot lately. I know a lot of our agents have been going there. So this one hit the market for $283,000, 4 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just over 1,800 square feet. Discover the ideal blend of convenience and comfort in this 4-bedroom, 1.5 bath colonial home where classic elegance meets modern sustainability. Also offering solar panels, the inviting home boosts a perfect blend of classic charm and modern comfort. This is an Owen Evans listing. I'm looking at this place. It looks great. The solar panels look great. Siding, beautiful yard. Well done on the landscaping.
Taxes usually not too bad in Meriden, too.
Taxes are not too bad. Here, let me see if I can get to that number real quick.
A lot of my buyers in Hamden end up looking at Meriden.
A lot of them did. They bump right up there.
Brian, you'd fit right in D.C. All taxes are bad.
All taxes are bad. Can't pay the tax, man.
I never heard of a good tax.
You're looking in the Meriden area and you want to schedule your private showing, you can reach out to Owen at oneteamct.com to check out 53 Graveline Avenue, again on the market for $283,000. Next up, we've got 167 Meadow Street in Milford. Not going to go too far in on this one because it is under contract, but it did hit the market for $400,000, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, just under 1,200 square feet. It was a charming home in the desirable Milford, in the heart of desirable Milford, nestled on a corner of a quaint side street. Beautiful job. This was Jamie Guarenta, one of our accelerator agents. I was very excited for her. Her first listing, she got it up, got it listed, got it under contract in one weekend, and her clients are extremely happy. But keep an eye out because we always have new listings popping up in the Milford and in the Meriden area. If you would like to check any of those out, again, like Byron said, head over to oneteamct.com for our full list of inventory. All right, under contracts, 9 of those bad boys. We had under contracts in Westbrook, New Haven, Wallingford, Milford, Deep River, Franklin, and Cheshire. Closings, 2 of those. Congratulations to our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in North Branford and New Haven. All right, open houses. We don't have anything going on today, Saturday, January 20th, but tomorrow, Sunday, January the 21st, you can head over to 66 High Street. The residence is at 66 High Street, the award-winning complex, the final building from 12 to 2 p.m. and see all of the available units there. Or if you're out in the northwest corner, I'm not sure how much snow they got up there after the little flurries we've had. 12 Old Homestead Lane in Kent, Connecticut is also going on from 12 to 2 p.m. on Sunday, January the first. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's One Team Weekly Rewind.
Good job, Chaz. Even Dougie Braun from Service Station would be proud of you. That is the one team rewind of the week for this one time this week, I guess. The one team rewind of the week is brought to you by Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist, 1-800-801-TANK. You contact us about real estate needs at oneteamct.com. So I mentioned before the halftime break there that the bottom is behind us. And you've got a Zillow stat, Chaz, that I think speaks to this. But before we get to that, I'll just give you a couple other measurements. When we look nationally, okay, this isn't necessarily reflective of Connecticut. I'm just giving you some national numbers. When we look nationally, the last 2 weeks, the first couple weeks of January, we've had more inventory than the same time period of January last year nationally. We've had more new listings the same time period as January last year. Okay, we have a interest rate over the last 3 months that has been trending down, not up. Okay, there's a lot of indications right now that the bottom is behind us. Brian, we'd better equip for this. I don't think we're going to see an 8 handle on the mortgage rate, even if there's some volatility in the future like we did last year. And I do see listings, inventory, which is what Connecticut is really hurting for, starting to loosen up. And Chaz, that leads us to what Zillow did a survey on.
Zillow did a survey, and what they found is that 1 in 5, or just over 20% of homeowners, are considering selling within the next 3 years. That is also up 15% from the last time they did this survey. And what they're noticing is that in spite of the persistent gap between today's lower mortgage rates and the rates they're locked into from purchases made when interest rates were lower, the lock-in effect may be less of a deterrent now for homeowners with low rates who are ready to make a move. But that's great news for sellers because we're going to get some inventory, but that's also going to continue to bring the competition. So it may not be as ideal for those first-time home buyers who are still trying to get into the housing game and to start building some of that generational wealth. So it's going to be interesting, but I like what they did. They put out a chart here. So 21% is the highest we've seen since quarter one and quarter two of 2023. But it's also that was the only other time we were above 20%, dating all the way back to 2021. So we had a time period where even though houses were selling at a rapid rate and home prices were appreciating at a rapid rate, people weren't thinking about selling for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They were deciding to hold on to it. Now they saw how much their home is appreciated. They realized how much equity they have. And so now that thought process has changed from, 15, 19% up to 21% and climbing. So about 1 in 5 homeowners are considering selling. Brian, are you talking to a lot of people that are trying to buy but also have to sell right now?
I am. Yeah. And I mean, one client comes to mind. I've got a few clients that fit that description, but I had one recently that was is buying a new house, has a home listed for sale. And I did a follow-up call. I was like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, well, we just did a price reduction on the home that we're selling. And so we're hoping it's going to be sold soon. And that's not, so that was I didn't say anything to the client cause I didn't want to make them feel bad, but I made a little mental note of it. I was like, that signals to me maybe a little bit of a shift in the market because typically, in last year, we weren't seeing any price reductions because these houses were just kind of flying off the shelves. So
we'll see. Yeah, that point you made. Many of these homeowners have, the article goes on to say, many of these homeowners have equity to put towards their next home purchase. They have an advantage over first-time home buyers. And that's especially true given the general consensus of home values in 2024. Housing affordability, though, has improved to a point for the buyers out there who've been waiting for an improvement in housing affordability. Zillow's report offers some encouraging news. The monthly payment for a new mortgage on a typical U.S. home, assuming 20% down, is now $1,790, down $143 compared to last October. What are we looking at for the average price point for a mortgage in Connecticut, with $393,000 being the median sales price?
You're looking for the payment on that?
Yeah, what are we looking at for a payment?
All right,
here?
Let's get the calculator out here.
$1,790.
All right, to Zillow. So we're going to say $393 is the price. Mm-hmm. We'll do 20% down.
20%
make it
down.
Simple. You guys don't have to do 20% down. We've got down payment assistance programs. You could buy a house with as little as $1,000 in your bank account with the Connecticut Time to Own down payment assistance program. Find more about that. You can schedule a call at scheduleanappointment.com. You like how I just get those plugs in there? Okay, here we go. So 20% down would be a loan amount of 314. Let's plug in our average mortgage rate we got from Friday. Mortgage News Daily was 6.89. We're going to do 30 years fix. By far the most popular mortgage program. You're looking at principal and interest payments of 2068. So let's guess 450 for the taxes and let's guess 125 for the home insurance. All in, you're looking at about 2650.
Okay, and I believe this article, when they were quoting it, it's 1790 for the principal and interest, and so we're just over $2,000. So we've got about a, call it $220 spread between the national price on a mortgage versus what we're seeing here in Connecticut. And they're also basing that off of the median sales price. They had it on a chart here at $344,000. So Connecticut, we're sitting a little bit higher than that. So in line, but still good news.
Yeah, and I mean, if that's a single family house, I mean, I think, you know, $2,600 in mortgage versus $2,600 in rent, even though rents might not necessarily be higher than what you're paying on the mortgage, I'm talking to more and more people that are just fed up of renting. Not so much because they think the mortgage is going to be cheaper, but they've seen how much rents have gone up, you know.
Right. So they're willing to put themselves into the mix, get in the competition, and do what it takes to find themselves a home. And we're going to finish up with this article. And we're also going to talk about Zillow's top emerging market that may be here in the state of Connecticut when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Okay. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk, fourth and final. Thanks for taking that last one home for me, boys. I'm Byron Lazine. We've got Chaz Cook from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate and Brian Skelly with William Ravis Mortgage, of course. What do we got, Chaz?
So we were just breaking down that we have seen an increase in the amount of people that are thinking about selling in the next 3 years, that number up from 15% to 21%. And then we gave you a little bit of insight as to what the national mortgage payment is looking at, about $1,790. And in Connecticut, we're just over $2,000. And part of that is because this CT region tops Zillow's ranking of home value growth as prices continue to surge. I mean, we've been talking about it all of 2023, all of these emerging markets, the top 10 most searched markets. Connecticut had four of them. Two of those cities actually fall into this region. We've been talking about this region all year long. So if you haven't guessed it, that is the greater Hartford metro area. It continues to rank high on the list of hottest housing markets in the nation as analysts look back on 2023 and ahead to 2024. They saw an 11% price growth on a typical home value of $336,612 by year end, according to an online real estate site. So that's actually lower than what we just read on for Zillow's median or average sales price for a home at $344,000. So that Hartford Metro, even though they're up 11%, still under that threshold. A major fact in that growth ranking was time on the market, with Hartford homes spending only about 6.5 days on the market, third fastest of all the 50 major metros, metro areas that Zillow analyzed. 6.5 days.
Wow.
For 2024, Zillow predicts that the Hartford's home value growth will decline to 0.7% if inventory and sales volume increase as predicted. That's interesting. They think they're just going to kind of come to a screeching halt. I mean, less than 1% when a lot of people have been talking about home price appreciation. Well, they've kind of been all over the place, but I believe the highest I saw was 4 and change.
Yeah, I just pulled up an article. I've been pretty busy. And so I checked the application data, according to Mortgage Bankers Association, up 26% compared to last week.
26%.
26%.
Applications overall.
Applications in the last week up 26%. I just had right before the show, one of my coworkers called me and was like looking. She's like, I'm so busy. I need some, I've been working 10, 12 hours a day. I need some tips to get organized. Like, how are you staying organized? So it's the demand is here, and hopefully we'll have some houses for all these people. But I mean, it's hard to imagine home prices dropping with that kind of demand.
Dropping to less than 1%, you know, maybe they slow to 2 to 3%, you know, I don't know, but I think that they're definitely going to be over 1%. So the article goes on to say last month, Zillow ranked 4 Connecticut towns, 3 of them in the Hartford area, among the top 10 most popular towns with home buyers. And that was where, again, to recap, Wethersfield, West Hartford, and Newington were in the top 10, along with the city of Middletown. So I was just in Middletown this morning. I really enjoy it up there. Lots to do. Their end of year local data highlights the trend. The median sales price of single family homes in greater Hartford rose 18.8% to $360,000 this December, compared to $303,000 in December of 2022. The Greater Hartford Association of Realtors announced on Wednesday. So big things happening up in our state capital in the Hartford area and the surrounding towns. Really excited to see that and see where it continues to go here in 2024. Have you gotten a lot of applications in the Hartford area? Are you kind of just all over or mainly on the shoreline?
Yeah, no, Hartford County has been pretty popular. And I don't live there either. I live on the shoreline, but I've been getting mostly from the one team who covers, you know, the whole state pretty much. But there's been a lot of activity in those Hartford County towns for sure.
Well, and the other thing that that's going to do, and we have one of our major metros, especially where the state's capital is, when that area continues to boom, it's going to bring in some new businesses to the area too. So some really niche businesses, some bigger chains are coming into Connecticut, and we've got a list of those, and we'll see how many of them actually are coming into the Hartford metro area. We've got some fast food chains, new recreational cannabis shops. Connecticut business landscape is expected to expand in 2024 with a slew of new businesses. Some of the anticipated businesses include Connecticut premier of the Louisiana-based fast food chain Raising Cane's. I haven't had that one. Whole new crop of Whole Foods. We know one of those is scheduled to come to Old Saybrook. They're just working through the permitting and the wetlands over there. And the unveiling of the National Coast Guard Museum, which I've been talking about for a while. That development plan has been in the work for decades. That's coming to the city of New London. And when that happens, watch out. If you own real estate in New London, it is going to skyrocket. And I'll make a prediction that New London, even though it's not a major metro area, New London County is going to see a pop once that Coast Guard Museum comes in and once the city continues to put all of that redevelopment money back into it in the next 3 to 5 years.
I just got a tip on the way in here. New high-end steakhouse coming to Branford, Connecticut. And my father-in-law has lived in Branford, Connecticut for 68 years, and he prides himself on being the first to hear about new businesses coming to town. So I'm very excited I got this news before he did. It's going in the old Donovan's Reef location.
I didn't even realize that Donovan's had closed.
They did. They were around COVID time. They did close, which was too bad because I like going there a lot. It's a great location. It's kind of a cool building. So yeah, it's coming. It's going to be a refined 120-seat steakhouse. And it's being opened by Stephen Goglia of Craveable Hospitality Group. He's got a steakhouse at Mohegan Sun, David Burke Prime Steakhouse.
That's
in Mohegan.
The best steakhouse in the casino.
So same guys opening a restaurant in Branford. It's going to be called Salt Brick Prime.
I think that's excited for that. An later open this invite for a one team steak dinner.
Well, you know that Victoria's husband Costas is they're involved in the launch of that restaurant.
Oh, are they really? Oh,
yeah, they're they own the Mystic Diner, they own the Parthenon Diners, and they are well, I think they're silent partners, not of course anymore after I just disclosed that on the radio. But they're gonna do a great job helping them. Obviously, you know, the guy from David Burke's, he's already done a great job with that restaurant, but they're going to help each other bring a really great restaurant to Branford. I can't wait to visit that.
Absolutely. Well,
I can't wait for a Brian Skelly hosted dinner there.
Yeah, there we go.
A nice cigar after, a little bourbon and cigar after.
Let's do it.
We can head over to the Speakeasy, which is right down the street from that.
There you go. Right. I live in Branford. I mean, that's one of the things that drew me there. They've got a lot of great restaurants and bars, and it's right on the shoreline. It's a great town.
A couple other notable restaurants coming. So this one's coming into Vernon, New Britain, and Canton. Bird Code. For 3 years, Brandy and Phil Killerin have been working to perfect the menu and service at Bird Code Hot Chicken, their Nashville Hot Chicken restaurant on West Hartford's Park Road. So they're opening three more locations, all in that Hartford metro area. So continuing to show that growth that we were talking about there. Chip City is coming to West Hartford. They rotate over more than 40 unique flavors every year. So they've got all kinds of ice cream, if that's your thing, again, in that Hartford metro area. So this is really exciting to see. 8th District Distilling Company coming to Manchester. New venture by Manchester resident and distiller Tony Gugino hopes to open its doors by March. Former site of Onyx Moonshine, the only other commercial distiller to have opened in town. So that's going to be cool. We don't have many distilleries here in the state of Connecticut. What else we got? We got a new restaurant coming at Mohegan Sun. They did not name it yet, so that was kind of a teaser there. P.F. Chang's been there. Wasn't impressed. How about you?
A lot of exciting stuff happening in Connecticut. You know, it's nice to see. I mean, there were years ago, a lot of people were leaving Connecticut, and people were kind of down and doom and gloom about Connecticut, but we're on the rise. It's nice to see. It's fun. We've got some, place to live.
Other businesses too. We've got a Delamar Hotels coming to Westport into Mystic. I don't know where they're going to cram that into Mystic. It's pretty packed.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah. And in Southport, they have the Delamar and really nice hotel.
Fine Fettle, which is a recreational cannabis shop in Norwalk and in Old Saybrook. Higher Collective, which is going to Bridgeport, Hamden, and Torrington. They are a Higher Collective to convert P&M Fine Foods and Italian Market in Delray.
P&M?
Oh, they're going to be a retail cannabis too. So all kinds of retail cannabis. The National Coast Guard Museum, they broke ground in August 22.
That'll be good for the restaurants, all these cannabis shops.
Right, right. That's going to drive people in. So the Coast Guard broke ground in August 2022 at a riverfront site on the Coast Guard Academy property for the new museum, whose 80,000 square foot exhibition space will feature interactive exhibits, programs, and STEM-based educational programs scheduled to open this year. So stay tuned. We will definitely be covering that. So really exciting things. We got great restaurants coming. We got some recreational cannabis. We got some other really amazing businesses coming into the state of Connecticut here in 2024. And we'll continue to check them out. And we're just going to have to start going on like restaurant tours here and reporting back how it's impacting the local economy.
Oh, darn.
Darn. Byron, you're a foodie.
The hotel scene that's popping up in Mystic is interesting. I mean, that's going to change the dynamic of that town for sure. Also create a big opportunity for Uber drivers. You know, used to never be able to park. Now people are going to have hotels to be able to stay at in Mystic. It'll be interesting. Delmar is a great establishment. That's it's been in Westport, West Hartford. They've been in a couple different locations. So
yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's always been a vacation destination, but if you can go there and if parking is an issue and you could stay overnight, you know, I'm sure you just park your car somewhere and then you can walk where you want
to
go. Put it
though, like maybe to the right.
It's right next to, they're already building it. It's right next to the seaport.
It is. It's up on the hill there.
They tore that restaurant. No, they tore that restaurant down. The heck was the name of the restaurant right next to the seaport?
The diner?
Nope. It was a restaurant.
Steak Loft?
No. Right next to the seaport.
Oh, I can see it.
It was,
the 94 Niners are going to never let us live this one down if we can't think of it.
No, I'm looking at a picture now for the rendering for this hotel in Mystic. It looks really cool. It's kind of like it looks appropriate for Eastern Connecticut. It's almost like looks like a barn conversion almost. And yeah, it looks nice. Looks really nice.
I've been to both of the other two hotels. They're beautiful. They're stunning. What is the name of this thing? I can't. I know we're running out of time. I cannot.
I can picture it. Like, yeah.
31 guest rooms and sites, chartered cruises on the Mystic River from the hotel. Looks like
Latitude 41. Latitude 41.
There you go. That's what it was.
That's what the old place, restaurant was. It's going to be right there. And if you've ever been to the West Hartford one or the Westport one, you know it is going to be beautiful. All right, that's it for us here, Real Estate Radio. We've got the home show coming up middle of February with Service Station Equipment over at Mohegan Sun. Make sure you mark that on your calendars. Thank you to 94.9. Thank you to Cooper on our side of the production. Thank you, John Fuller, for having such a great radio station. We love what you're doing, John, for the community. And thank you, Brian Skelly. You can find Brian at scheduleloanappointment.com, or you can reach out to us at oneteamct.com. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay healthy. We'll see you next week, Real Estate Radio. You're listening to 94.9 News Now.